Hello, Nerdy Legion. Thank you once again for listening to Comic Talk today. These are your Comic Talk headlines for August 6th, 2019. And I, as usual, am Dustin. TV news, guys. First thing in TV news is it's just a little bit of a forewarning. There is a lot of TV news for this episode, so bear with me. We will work our way through it. I promise. But the first thing we're talking about is a little bit of a follow-up to the Crisis on Infinite Earths 5-hour epic event on the CW that is happening this December. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So first, we got the announcement that Kevin Conroy is going to be playing an older version of Batman, Bruce Wayne, in the 5-hour series, I guess you could call it. And then shortly thereafter, we have rumors that started up, but there's so many of them at this point that it makes me think that it might actually be in the works for Mark Hamill to be playing a version of the Joker in this 5-hour epic event, which kind of says to me that they're allowing a little bit more leeway with the whole Batman embargo on the CW, at least just for these 5 hours, but still, that's kind of epic, that's kind of huge. And we also got an announcement for behind the scenes. Apparently Marv Wolfman, who is the author who wrote the Crisis on Infinite Earths in the comic books, he is going to be joining the writer's room for all 5 episodes as well. So this just keeps growing in scope and size, and it's just gonna be huge, and we're moving on to the next thing. Real short update on the Loki series for Disney Plus. Tom Hiddleston was talking to Entertainment Weekly, and he said that the plan is that they are going to be in active production at the, quote, top of the year, unquote. Exactly what the top of the year means, probably January. Though he could mean December. Theoretically, if you're climbing up throughout the course of the year, then December would be the peak, right? So, December or January, likely when they will begin production on the Loki miniseries for Disney+. Next is another Nickelodeon update. As we've talked about before, they just got some new producers, some new upper-ups, the higher highs, the guys on charge, the powers that be, if you will. And so they've been on this new programming kick, and Viacom has kind of been feeding into it. And so if you don't know, Viacom is the parent company of Nickelodeon. They own a bunch of television stuff. They own MTV, they own VH1, they own all kinds of TV things, TV properties. So they just bought Paws Incorporated, which is the company that owns the IP rights to Garfield. So Nickelodeon now is working on a new Garfield cartoon. Exactly who's going to be involved and all of that still has yet to be worked out, but they did just announce it, so that's pretty exciting. Kind of a blast from the past for a lot of people, because Garfield has been in 2 different animated series and 2 movies throughout the last 5 decades. So it's, yeah, pretty intense and awesome, and we're moving on. Speaking of brand new programming pushes, we're talking about Amazon Prime now, and they just made it known that they're working on an Event Horizon series for the Amazon Prime video streaming app. It is still early in the adaptation, so again, we don't have any of the production staff, we don't have any casting announcements, we don't even have writing staff at the moment, but they do own the rights to this property through some crazy dealings with Paramount, and so yeah, we're going to be seeing a sci-fi horror series based on the 1997 movie Event Horizon, and that's one of my favorite horror movies ever, so definitely excited about that. So remember when they announced the casting of the live-action Disney movie for The Little Mermaid? They announced the casting of Ariel, and the internet broke and lost its collective mind. Well, they kind of just did that again, and nobody seemed to notice. It seems that ABC, the broadcast television, the regular broadcast television channel, is going to be doing a live play version of The Little Mermaid. So it's kind of like what they did with Rent and the Hairspray, and they've done a number of these throughout the years. But now they're doing it with a Disney princess movie. Granted, there are some songs in that, but it doesn't feel like the same thing. Anyway, the girl who did the voice, I believe, of Moana, it has been cast as Ariel. Her name, I apologize. I need to read this because it's not in my native tongue. So I apologize for butchering the name. Auli'i Carvalho. Sorry again for the mispronunciation, but she has been cast to play Ariel. Shaggy has been cast to play the crab Sebastian, which is actually kind of a great casting choice, I feel like, assuming Shaggy has some sort of acting chops. And possibly the biggest announcement here is Queen Latifah is going to be playing Ursula. I don't know if this is a thing that we need. Hopefully they can pull it off well, and hopefully it's entertaining, and hopefully it doesn't turn into whatever that was that they tried to do with Rent. But my hopes are not set super high. And we're moving on. Back into the land of Amazon, we're talking now about The Lord of the Rings. And this one isn't really casting or writing or anything like that. So one of the creative consultants that they brought in for the show is a retired teacher and is a Tolkien scholar. So that's pretty interesting. He's been doing interviews recently, and he recently did a German language interview that said that the plan for Lord of the Rings on Amazon is, not only are we absolutely going to be in the Second Age, that's been confirmed, but this is like double confirmation. Yes, we are going to be in the Second Age, but also they're going to be shooting for approximately 20 episodes for season one. 20. So 20 hours of storytelling in the land of the Lord of the Rings. That's going to be very interesting. Now, I know back in the day, like we've talked about before, back when sitcoms were new, most TV programming was relatively new still, back in the 60s and 70s and such, you got 25 approximately episodes every season. But that's because it was on every week, or some of them even more, because they were on every day. So you had a new episode every day. But also because they didn't have a whole lot of other stuff to fill the time with, and they weren't hour-long episodes. They were all half-hour-long episodes. So really, if you're going half-hour to an hour, you drop instantly to about 12 to 13 episodes, depending on how you want to divide that up. So that's kind of in line with what we're getting now anyway, unless differences, but still just really super interesting. 20 episodes. How are we going to fill 20 hours of programming? It's going to be quite the undertaking. And with $1 billion invested in this project, hopefully they can follow through with that large goal. And that brings us into movie news, and movie news is going to be relatively quick by comparison. First off, we're talking Venom 2. Andy Serkis has been officially locked in as the director. The only other thing I know of that he's directed was the Mowgli movie. So it'll be interesting to see how he does with this huge property, because they're both been established properties. I mean, you can't say this is his first established IP, but this is his largest for sure that he's undertaken as director, and his unique set of abilities should pay off in the next movie. Details exactly about what the plot is going to be are still kind of scarce, though he did post a selfie of himself, obviously. He did post a selfie up on his Twitter, I believe it was, where he is holding an issue of the Lethal Protector book, the Venom book, rather, Lethal Protector, which is very much where we got the first movie from, so it'll be interesting to see what he takes from that and what other books he borrows from. Probably Maximum Carnage, maybe Absolute Carnage, which is just about to launch in comic books next week, I believe. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's when issue number one's supposed to be dropping. Excited, because Serkis and his whole experience with CGI and acting should make this a much more rich and more believable character in Venom, and vicariously in Carnage. Then we're going to talk real quick about the new Iron Man. Well, not necessarily. So, Dominic Cooper was talking with comicbook.com, and they asked if he would be willing to play Iron Man going forward once we get to the recast. And he did, from the sounds of the interview, about pooped his pants and jumped out of his skin saying, yes, 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 yes. So if he has been a Stark in the past. He was Howard Stark back when we first saw young Howard Stark in Iron Man 2, I believe. And then again in Agent Carter, he reprised the role as Howard Stark, though we all know him a little bit better as Jesse Custer over on the Preacher program on the AMCs. So he's not unfamiliar, A, with being a Stark, or B, with comic book characters in general, but it actually wouldn't be a horrible casting idea to put him in as the new Tony once we get to that point in the MCU where we are recasting the roles for those who have left the fold. But with the thousands and thousands of characters that Feige referenced when we talked about that kind of stuff a couple episodes back, a couple months back at this point, I believe, I honestly at this point would be surprised if they brought back in an Iron Man or a Captain America that wasn't Falcon before he was Cap. So I don't know at this point if we are going to be recasting those roles, but it's interesting to think about, and I'm passing it off to you. What do you think about that? Next, we're talking Shazam 2, and this one was more of a thought experiment than anything, because in a recent interview, he said that Mr. Mind, as the next villain for Shazam, was not necessarily a foregone conclusion. Though it did seem that that is what was set up with the end credits scene, so where could they possibly go that they've set up? Like, what do you guys think would make sense if they're not going to do Mr. Mind? And we are still waiting for a third Shazam movie before we see Black Adam. Where else can they go that would logically lead us down that path into Black Adam? I don't know the character well enough to make that call, so I'm passing that one off to you guys. What do you think they might go if they don't go with Mr. Mind? And then our last piece isn't necessarily news, unless you didn't know that Batman Hush, the animated movie, launched today as I'm recording this. And I watched it, and they changed the ending? And I don't know how I feel. No, I do know how I feel about it. It's kind of garbage. So what do you guys think? Because you have to watch this because, I mean, the animated movies is what's keeping the DCEU floating effectively, aside from, I mean, obviously Shazam and Aquaman and Wonder Woman. But by and large, the most success that Warner Brothers has had with DC properties in movie form has been the animated movies. And I feel like this is their second really big misstep. The first obviously being Killing Joke, and now this is almost as big of a misstep. I'm not even gonna lie. So without spoiling anything, let's have that conversation. That does it for this episode of Comic Talk Headlines Nerds. For more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, then subscribe to Comic Talk today on your favorite podcast platform of choice. Or to go deeper into these topics, plus much more nerdy bits, you can join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thanks for listening, nerds, and we'll see you next time.